Affairs Talk is powered by Xfinity.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Jeff Joniak, and welcome to Bears Talk, the Week 16 version here from PNC Studio at Hallisaw. Blessed to be joined by our good friend Tom Waddle from ESPN Radio, ABC 7, ESPN National.
Whoever.
Is there anything else?
No, hey, listen, if you've got a spot, I'm willing to come work. I have four daughters, man. That's not cheap.
And we're blessed.
That's right.
Yes, thank you.
We are blessed.
Hey, listen, he's a Boston
It's Christmas college
guy.
Season.
You're a Notre Dame guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a good Catholic boy, and my friend Tom Thayer over here from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM as we get you set for Bears-Redskins. I can't believe I'm saying it's week 16 already, but it is. It flew by. Maybe people don't look at it that way because of the misery of 3-11, but it did fly by. And I see some growth, but I also see some big concerns moving forward. We're going to break it down with some topics, but first of all, the overall thought on what's been going on.
It seems like it's going quickly because it is. The older we get, the more time seems to fly. Look, it's been a very difficult year. Every team in the NFL has the adversity of having to work through injuries, but this team, which was already thin to begin with, and you guys know this better than I, complete roster overhaul, so you have to improve the talent level for the frontline guys, but you also have to improve your depth. When you put 18 guys on injured reserve and you have two guys suspended, boy, that just destroys the continuity and destroys your chances on any given Sunday. So I know that there are people out there that don't want to hear injuries as an excuse, but it is reality. With that said, you are what your record says you are. You're 3-11, but I have to tell you, I've been very encouraged by several things. Jordan Howard has been all that and then some. The offensive line, there have been some bright spots. Cody Whitehair looks great to me. Cam Meredith seems to be developing. That front seven on defense when healthy, I thought when the season began they had a chance to be a top 10 group. So there's progress there, and guys are fighting. You know, they're the team. Tom and I were talking about this earlier. This Bears team is the team you don't want to face if you have the playoffs on the line personally, because they're going to put
a
scare into
you. They made people sweat.
Yes,
they
absolutely.
And these are all playoff contending teams, the Giants, the Titans, the Packers, and the Redskins coming in.
But, you know, the end of the season's always sad for me. Because all those names you mentioned, I want to see them continue to perform and continue to play and continue to develop. When you talk about a guy like Cody Whitehair, I think he deserves serious Pro Bowl consideration. When you talk about Jordan Howard, where he was drafted and what he's been able to prove, I think it really puts first round, you know, choices in. It kind of confuses the draft.
Well, I got to ask you something, because here's one of his big comments. He says it all the time, backs are a dime a dozen. Is he a dime a dozen?
No, but I'm
just
saying that he is a unique back. You know, you look at backs that, you know, get drafted in the first round like Ezekiel Elliott, and he's, you know, congratulations to him. He's playing with a good quarterback, a great offensive line, and they're getting value from him. But he's no more valuable to the Cowboys than Jordan Howard is to the Chicago Bears. And look where the two of them are drafted. It just seems like that pre-draft consideration is you're seen differently through everybody's eyes.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's just the nature of the position, I think. You watch Jordan Howard play, whether it was at UAB or it was at Indiana, you knew he could play. Now a guy comes out, he runs a 4.6, and everyone, you know, turns their head and walks the other direction. That's silly. Put the tape on, see if he can play. The nature of the position is you can find guys like Jordan Howard that late in the draft. Latavius Murray, a guy who's had an excellent start to his career in Oakland, was a sixth-round pick. You'll find those stories.
Terrell
this
Davis.
Kid can play, Terrell Davis.
Well, it's the desire in a running back to get 4 yards per carry, and there is always a physical conclusion to those, the mentality to those types of running backs. So, yeah, if you're only being judged on the 40 you run, there's guys out there on track, on the running around tracks all day that should be considered to be running backs in the NFL. But you got to have the mentality. You look at the way Jordan Howard finished that touchdown run the other day.
One of my favorites of the season.
Right. I mean, Clinton Dix had no chance of standing up at the goal line and stopping Jordan Howard.
And you'll see guys making business decisions, too. You get late in the third quarter, into the fourth quarter, and that guy's running at you. There's not a line of people that are looking to put a lick on him. Yards after contact, I don't know where he stacks up in the NFL.
Better than Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I mean, the
numbers, after contact.
The analytics will tell you he's been every bit as efficient this year for our Bears team as Zeke has been for the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm going to steal that on a game in the final 2 weeks of the season when somebody Ole somebody, hey, Tom, he just made a business decision.
Well, yeah, it happens a lot. I made business decisions at times, too. You see some of the safeties I had to go down
hey,
and
listen, hit. I'm telling you right now, I believe this, and call me naive, but I believe 100% he never made a business decision. Tom Thayer.
Oh, I agree. Oh. Yeah, I
he
totally
put his
agree
hand
with
in
that.
The dirt. Yeah. He growled at
Listen,
you.
I right? was very fortunate to play, not to, to walk down memory lane too much.
You love walking
but,
down memory lane.
But with, Who are you with Jay Hilgenberg and Mark Bortz on one side and Thayer on the other side, I'm telling you, that's as tough a trio as you'll ever see
and
in the National Football League.
Accountability amongst the five of them.
Let's get to the subject.
See, he gets all nervous. Typical all right. offensive that's lineman. All right, subject number one, right in line with where guys are drafted, and this is from the other end of the perspective at the quarterback position because they're always trying to find the guy and they get overdrafted. Matt Barkley maybe was underdrafted, a fourth-round pick of the Philadelphia Eagles. I think that hurt him more than anything was going to the Philadelphia Eagles to start his career. And well, he's getting his first chance.
Yeah.
Everyone is talking about, we talked about this last week, Tom, everybody's talking about, oh, he's getting a second chance. No. Yeah. This is it.
Well, when he came out of USC, I believe he was dealing with shoulder injury.
He was.
And he goes to a system with Chip Kelly that didn't fit his skill set. I hear the knocks on Matt Barkley. His arm's just not strong enough. You know, aside from rolling left and throwing across his body 50 yards downfield into a gusting wind, that's about the only throw I haven't seen him be able to make. Outside of that, Matt Barkley, to me, has a strong enough arm. His accuracy is significantly better than I could have ever imagined.
Very good.
The ball is on point. He doesn't get flustered. And like you say, this is his first spin. I mean, it's tough to get out there with a group of guys that you're not really familiar with because there are backups at wide receiver. There are some backups at different spots. I've been very impressed with what Matt Barkley has done, and he has certainly exceeded my expectations.
You know, the most meaningful measurable for a quarterback is their mental capacity to know the system. Going back into Wikipedia yesterday and looking at quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Tony Romo, Matt Barkley, and Drew Brees. The tallest quarterback out of that group is Kirk Cousins at 6'3". All of those other guys are in the 6'2 range and within 5 to 7 pounds of the same body weight. So, again, if you want to talk about a measurable to make your decision for a quarterback, I think that's the wrong way to go because we've seen quarterbacks out there from Brock Osweiler to Dan McGuire years ago
right.
to Paxton Lynch, who's yet to play for the Denver Broncos, who their measurables
Don't
got him drafted.
Jared Lorenzen. He
right.
was 6'7".
Well, because
from a width
right.
standpoint, he was 6'7".
He's the John Daly of quarterbacks. But anyways, it's just that, you know, sometimes you get caught up in the measurables of what they look like to pass the eye test, and it is about the mental capacity of quarterbacks. And I think Matt Barkley has proved to all of us he's mentally strong, he's extremely confident, he's got the ability to bounce back if he does make a mistake in the middle of the game. And then when you speed up the tempo, that's when he's at his best. That's when it's most challenging to some quarterback. So speed the tempo, and he's a more efficient thinker at that type.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the next 2 weeks, I'm excited to see him continue to play. And I think the Bears should be excited to see him play as well. You can continue to evaluate him and see where he goes. I think he's caught the attention of a lot of people in the NFL. I really do. I don't know where personnel people think his ceiling is. I think it's higher than what they initially expected, but I think he's opened some eyes around the league.
He's a gentleman also,
yeah,
and he's mild-mannered. He answers questions now because he's the starting quarterback, so you're getting to know him a little bit more. But don't mistake in that All-American look to him and a good guy from USC, a strong Christian man for not being competitive, because I sat down with him last week and learned a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
He's very competitive. Like he
you don't
gets
get
it.
Here without yeah. being competitive.
Right. Yeah. You don't go to USC and have the career that he had to begin with at the collegiate level if you're not competitive. I think this weekend is a really good look, too, because if you're looking for a comp that you hope he can be, it's Kirk Cousins. Kirk's had some ups, he's had some downs, but the majority of Kirk Cousins' play has been good. And if Matt can develop into Kirk Cousins-like, mm-hmm. You got something.
You know, it's an interesting defense for him to go through, too. I know we'll talk a little bit more about it. Because when they have a quarterback like Cam Newton from last night, they have the middle linebacker kind of works in a spy technique. If they have a quarterback that's not superior threatening with the run game, they bring a little bit more pressure. Yeah. So it's going to be a great game defensive coordinator against Matt Barkley.
I think also you look at the way he's moved in the pocket. I don't think his sack total is very high.
No.
The offensive line
hasn't been hit
give them
very
credit,
much.
But at the same time, it's a lot of – it has to do with pocket awareness, shuffling your feet here, shuffling your feet there, finding your sight lines, and he's done a nice job.
And showing zero panic, very calm in the pocket. All right, let's talk about the receivers he's throwing to, because he is a lot more comfortable right now with the following: Cam Meredith, Josh Bellamy. He's more comfortable with Deontay Thompson. Yeah. And so those guys,
Dan Brown, 200-yard
games for Meredith and Thompson last week, and just understands. I think Cam has become a better receiver with Matt Barkley, how he's catching the ball. It's about the type of throw, the velocity on the throw. All three of the Bears quarterbacks this season threw the ball a little differently. Right. He makes some very catchable throws.
Yeah, his accuracy is very good. He throws a nice ball. Look, I mean, there's some throws that come your way that just don't look right. His ball, when it comes at you, it feels like it looks right. There's so much that goes into the continuity between a receiver and a quarterback. And when you're consistently changing the guy who's throwing it, it's hard for the receivers to really find their rhythm and know where the quarterback is expecting them to be. So this is a learning process for all of them. Cam Meredith was a college quarterback. I've been very impressed. Now, look, you look at the last few games and you're going to say, well, there's some crucial drops. And there have been. And Cam Meredith has dropped a couple of passes. But I really like what I see from him. Josh Bellamy's a guy that needs to do a better job catching the ball. But the fact that he's getting open, I mean, it's hard to get open in the National Football League consistently. Now you got to finish the play and catch the football. But getting open is very difficult. Daniel Brown, the kid, the tight end.
Right.
I mean, I hope I'm saying his name right. I don't know how many people know. Catches the ball with his hands.
Hey, I heard people telling me, hey, who's that Daniel Boone guy? You know, Daniel Boone? No, it's Daniel Brown. And he has had one of his targeted throws not caught. That's it.
Yeah, finds the open space, catches the ball with his hands. Look, again, it's a work in progress. And some would say, hey, the team's 3-11, you're reaching for things. Well, I take a long-term approach to what I've seen, and there are some things about this team that do excite me.
Well, you know, Josh Bellamy covered kickoffs and kick and covering punts, and he's one of the starting wide receivers for the team. That tells you a little bit about what he's had to do to get on the field to create the opportunity to become a wide receiver. So I like how important it is to him and the enthusiasm he shows on no matter what his duties are. Yeah. And something that if you have the continuity and the consistency of the same quarterback, you're going to be able to develop the timing between the two. He knows how to throw the pass to Josh Bellamy, and Josh Bellamy, the more reps he gets, the better he is going to be at catching the ball, just like Cam Meredith. So,
Dropping the football times as well becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you think if you're in a bit of a funk from a confidence standpoint and you think you're going to drop it, you take your eyes off, and then
did it happen to you?
It happened late in my career when I went to Cincinnati as a free agent. You know, we were teammates. You knew I wasn't running away from anyone, but I was going to catch the football. I had to. It was the only way I'd stay in the NFL. I went to Cincinnati. I was in a new environment. Physically wasn't great, wasn't feeling great, and I stopped watching the ball. I've always believed you catch the ball with your eyes. You don't catch the ball with your hands. I mean, your hands are there. They're necessary, but if you don't look the ball in, you got no chance. I lost confidence the second day of minicamp. In Cincinnati, I started dropping passes that I hadn't dropped since I was in grade school. Ultimately, I retired like 3 days later because physically I wasn't there. But it becomes a mental thing as much as it is a physical thing. So you get out there, the jugs machine, and you catch 150 passes before practice. You catch 200 after practice, and you know, you just keep working at it.
And that's what these guys are. They've been going to the bubble on their own on off days or whatever. They're trying to get that part of it fixed. All right, here's a gear shift now. We're going to switch away from the NFL and the Bears for a moment. This is something that I haven't discussed with you yet. No, it probably burns you up a little bit.
Well, the NFL is the reason for this topic.
Well, I'm saying we're talking about Bears, right. Redskins. We're going to switch gears, talk about Leonard Fournette of LSU and Christian McCaffrey of Stanford, two players deciding and electing to sit out their team's bowl games to get ready for their NFL draft, NFL combine, and their evaluation come February. We'll begin with you because it was your topic. Is it on your last nerve? Is your blood up?
Yeah, it bothers me. Yeah. I mean, the thing about him, I would go through the combine and I would watch their efforts and I would see how to prepare. I wouldn't draft him in the first round. I don't know if I would draft him in the second round. I would consider him to be drafted later. The reason Fournette from LSU is going to take time off, he's been injured for the last year and a half. Christian McCaffrey, when he had all this preseason consideration into the Heisman, he's been injured a majority of this year. when you're not the secret anymore, when you're a part of what the opponent says, we have to stop this football team, we have to stop this player, then both of them have been challenged in that way. So I'm really frustrated that these guys would sit out of a bowl game because the practices are meaningful. The scouts that get to go to these practices that to get a better evaluation of you, the way you get to elevate your stock in the NFL is sometimes because of the effort you give them in bowl games. And it just frustrates me that these guys are willing to sit out and leave their teammates behind when they have one of the biggest reward games of their college career. And I know all the idea that people talk about, oh, you have to protect yourself. There is no protecting yourself. Football is a game that you're committed to for life. And it's whether it's a bowl game, a regular season game, or getting ready to play, try to make it in the NFL.
I think it's a nuanced conversation for me. That's a simple way of saying I can see it on both sides. I understand what Tom's saying. Look, I needed the film. I mean, I would have played, but I wasn't projected to be a first-round pick. I think the comp is Jalen Smith, the kid from Notre Dame last year, who was projected to be a top-five pick. Top-five pick, the guaranteed contract's about $25 million. Where he was selected by the Dallas Cowboys, he had about $4 million guaranteed. It was a $20 million loss for him. He had an insurance policy, but the insurance policy only covered about $900,000. So, in a sense, he lost $19 million. Now, Jalen Smith, to his credit, came out yesterday and said, hey, if I had to do it all over again, I'd still go play. Right. I get it. Tom Herman left University of Houston to go on to his next job. He left his kids. If the coaches can leave prior to the bowl game, why should we be hating on the kids for doing the same? It's a business decision. I can understand why they do it. I really can. Because you get a very short opportunity and a small chance to go out there and make as much money. I think if Stanford or LSU, if either of these two teams were in the four-team playoff, I think both Fournette and McCaffrey would be playing.
I don't like it any more than Tom doesn't like it. You raised some very interesting considerations.
And I don't like it either, right. But I do understand why.
I'm old school. I like things the way they are. I don't like all this change. Because
do you have an iPhone or you still have a flip phone?
I do. But here's the thing, though. Those two guys, they've opened Pandora's box. By doing that, there's a lot of guys, I think.
Really?
Down
I mean,
the road,
if you go back
you're
and look
leaving
at,
your teammates.
You look at who did Ohio State play last year? Last year, you had Joey Bosa, you had Ezekiel Elliott, you had a number of first round picks. I forget who they played. Was it Notre Dame? Whoever they played, there were like 17 or 18 guys on the team that were drafted.
Yeah.
And they all played.
Right.
I'm not so sure. I can understand where you're going with the Pandora's box. I'm not so sure it's going to set a trend. There are other kids. There was a young man, I believe, from Oklahoma, who was a defensive lineman who had been dealing
right,
with concussions.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to expose himself to any further risk of injury. It's a tough decision.
And
it
that
really
angered
is.
That the coaching staff.
Sure.
I mean, it did. I mean, this is a long conversation.
Now you're playing
in a
bowl
game. We don't have that kind of time.
Now you're playing in a bowl game, and the quarterback has some ability to get drafted. But the left tackle is going to be one of the first five picks, and he's going to sit out the bowl game.
Yeah.
Now the quarterback or everybody else, it deteriorates your entire
it's
position.
Pandora's box.
Right.
I'm telling you.
It's frustrating
it's
to
not,
me.
It's
you know,
it
I,
is frustrating.
You know, I hope it's not the trend.
It's also you know one of those positions where guys feel they're going to get more. It's more likely they're going to get hurt. You know, you're a rough and tumble guard in the middle. You're not worried about injury. These running backs, they see things a little bit differently.
All right, let's move on to the Redskins.
Jordan Howard will play.
Redskins beaten by the Carolina Panthers on Monday Night Football. Let's analyze that from the start. You guys watched the game. Did you come away surprised, or were you stunned that the Redskins lost on their own field?
I was stunned that they lost on their own field because it seemed like the Carolina Panthers were in a downward trend and the Redskins had everything to play for. They play with a lot of enthusiasm. They play, have an aggressive defense. They got some big-time playmakers on the offensive side of the football. And Kirk Cousins, he's playing for his financial future. So I thought you put all those things in the mix that coming out of the locker room, Redskins had more to play for than the Carolina Panthers. But, you know, they blew a coverage, resulted in a touchdown. Carolina gets a little bit of an advantage. Now the defense for Carolina Panthers is on the advantage because they can be more in the attack mode. And So I was surprised at the outcome.
Yeah, I was surprised a little bit, but that's still, even without Luke Kuechly, that's a pretty elite front seven that the Carolina Panthers have. They have some youth in their secondary, but their guys have gotten better as the season has gone on. So I wasn't surprised that the front seven was able to control the line of scrimmage. The Redskins have struggled at times to run the football, and I think they did last night as well. I look at the Redskins as a flawed defense. They've got a couple of pass rushers that can get to you. Obviously, Josh Norman in the secondary. I think Breland is a kid that is better than he has played at times this year. But you can get to them. I would expect the Bears to load it up and be able to run the football and own the line of scrimmage against them and then mix some things in. Offensively, I think a key component that is missing with them is Jordan Reed.
He made a business decision last night.
Yeah, I mean,
that
don't.
Kid, he's been in the ring before.
Yes, you could tell. You could tell.
How about that for a throw?
I mean, that's.
To a face mask?
Yeah.
A right hand? Are you kidding me?
It was quick
that
right.
That was a business decision.
That was a quick right.
Yeah. How do I get thrown out of the game?
And he was dealing with a third degree separation of his shoulder, so he has not been a large part of what they're doing on offense, and I think that has really limited what they're capable of.
He's a very good player.
He's an outstanding player. He's a Travis Kelce type of player that is a hard guard because linebackers aren't fast enough to run with him, and secondary players just aren't big enough to hang with him.
All right, lastly, let's pick a favorite matchup in this game. We'll start with you, Tommy.
You know, DeSean Jackson, 7 catches, 111 yards, kind of scares me because when you think of the last play of the Green Bay game with Jordy Nelson raising up his left hand saying, hey, I'm open in the middle of the field, what is Kirk Cousins going to try to attack? He's going to try to attack some open space with the fastest guy on the field, and that's DeSean Jackson. But I like to run the ball repeatedly at Josh Norman. I don't think he's a willing tackler. He wants to cover and talk about it, but he's not willing to come up and make a hit. So if Jordan Howard can expose the edge and get some runs into the second level and third level, I want to see how willing some of these guys are to tackle.
I would say the sexy matchup is Alshon Jeffrey versus Josh Norman. If Norman is going to follow him, which he hasn't done all this year. I know Alshon was a little frustrated with the lack of participation in the first half of that game, then became a factor in the second half last week. I think that's a marquee matchup to look at. But I'm with you. I think Jordan Howard against their group of linebackers is a matchup that favors the Bears. I think they've had some injuries at the middle linebacker position. We saw a backup playing last night against the Carolina Panthers. I think Jordan Howard should have a day against the Washington front seven.
Yeah, I hope he gets over 1,200 yards rushing this year. That's
going to be
hope
35
for,
degrees, too. Yeah, it's going to be like a heat wave.
That's balmy.
Mine is it's always about protecting your quarterback. So Ryan Kerrigan and Trent Murphy, they have some pretty good success at quarterback hits, hurries, and sacks. So got to be a keen eye on those two guys. The Redskins and the Bears are 4-5 right now in sacks pass play in the National Football League. So they both create some pretty good pressure. All right, we're out of time. Tom Thayer, Tom Waddle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you
all for watching. Bears Talk here from PNC Studio at Halas Hall. Talk to you next time.